Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Australian Jams. I've given up on telling you what number it is because I always forget to check. I'm Gemma Bastiani and I'm kind of going through the rounds of old pals that I haven't spoken to in a while with these recent episodes, which makes me really happy. Today I'm joined by Nick Kelly, of all people. Hello.
Hello, Gemma. It's so nice to be here. And yeah, it is a very kind of full circle moment. You were one of the many people around in my very early days of writing about music and talking about music in a semi-professional capacity. So it feels very nice and full circle to do this with you.
Do you know the weird thing that I literally just noticed, even though we've been talking for a little while, is that your headphones are black and your mic is blue.
Yeah.
And my headphones are blue and my
That's amazing. I must correct you on the color of the mic sock, though. It is teal. I did steal it from a Hit Network radio station. If anyone from the Hit Network radio stations are listening, I didn't steal it from a Hit Network radio station. But yours is more of a sky blue, isn't it, your headphones?
They're more of a royal blue. Like, I remember my high school had trademarked the school color. It was called Loyola Blue. And that is the color of my headphones. They trademarked the school color because I went to a private Catholic school. So surprises.
That sounds like something a private Catholic school would absolutely do. That is critical stuff for them. You know what else that color reminds me of, actually? It reminds me of Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, and there was the big Pokemon, like the most exciting Pokemon you could get in that game was one called, I think it was called Kyogre, and it was this blue monster looking thing, and it was the exact color of your headphones there. So you're taking me right back to when I was
Sapphire. Makes sense.
Sapphire, exactly. It's a royal blue Sapphire. Anyway, this is great for audio content, isn't it?
I will post a photo of my headphones.
Yes.
On the Australian Gems Instagram for everyone. back to the topic at hand. Nick, for those who don't know who you are, can you give us a brief rundown of who you are and what you do?
No one knows who I am. I am a I don't know. I don't think anyone knows. Not that many people. But I am.
Don't lie, Nick.
I identify these days, and I have constant battles within myself as how I identify myself from a professional and a personal perspective. But I identify myself these days as a queer music fan, first and foremost. Music fan first, queer is sort of like second on the rung. And then if we have to talk about the professional side, I suppose you could call me a music broadcaster because I sort of talk about music, whether it's on the radio or podcasts or writing or whatever. And an artist manager is my latest feather in my cap. So yeah, they're the kind of things that I do.
Yes. I love that you flagged that, you don't know how to explain to people what you do, because I have been going through that a lot this year as well.
You are a slashy, aren't you, Gemma?
Yeah. It's just like, I just say like, oh yeah, I'm a freelancer. And then they ask what, and you're like, I do this and this and this and this. And they're like, you do so much. I was like, not really. It's just, I'm a freelancer. So you have lots of little jobs.
Isn't that conversation funny when you tell people the amount of things that you do in a week and they go, how do you ever sleep? And it's like, I slept in till 9:30 this morning. It's still possible.
Yeah. Stage 4 lockdown is not great, I'll be honest, but lockdown has been kind of normal for me. I've just had meetings online instead of in cafes, but other than that, like, it's been kind of the same. The only day I have to wake up on time is on Wednesdays when I teach a class, but other than that, I sleep in and then just work.
Yep, exactly. We didn't do anything else anyway. We are associated with the music industry. We have deep anxiety disorders. It's the only people that work in the music industry is depressed people with anxiety disorders, so we didn't do anything in the first place.
You couldn't be more accurate about that right now. I saw a meme. It was just like, what is it? Something about anxiety and how to know if you've got anxiety or something. And I was just like reading it point by point, and I was just like, a high functioning anxiety was what it was.
Mm.
And it was like, you know, you work to the point of burnout and then you feel unmotivated for a little while. I'm like, yep. I was just going through. And it was 2 a.m. as well. And I saved it to my phone. I sent it to Sos, who we all know, who's been on the podcast before. I sent it to her at 2 a.m. saying, I feel attacked. So the next day I got a response. She's just like, Gemma, 2 a.m.? And I was like, oh, yes. It makes sense.
See, it's weird. I am a deeply anxious person, but I'm not a night owl at all. And I know most of my fellow anxiety sufferers are night owls and they find it hard to switch off. Whereas it's probably due to my alcohol intake partially, but I've never struggled with getting to sleep. It's more during the day and when I'm actually up and about, that's when I struggle with my anxiety the most, which is different to many people. It tends to manifest for lots of people in the nighttime when they're laying there with their own thoughts alone for the first time all day. And luckily I don't have that one.
Mine's more getting from my desk to my bed that's the issue.
Mm. Do you not have a buffer? Do you not have a buffer in between desk time and bedtime?
Well, because there's so much football on, I do so much work just from the couch as well. And I have to watch football for work. So no, and like you can see me, other people can't, but this is my studio. And then you can see my door there. My bedroom door is right next to this one. So, like, I live in an apartment alone. It's not very big.
My door there next to the washing basket. So, yeah, it's the same sitch. But what I've made a really clear distinction of is at least having a couple of hours out in the lounge room, which is all the way out there, and separating that time. And so the only time that my studio workspace sees me after, say, about, sometimes I work till about 8 or 9, but I always make sure I go and watch telly and cook dinner and, you know, wait there till 11 or even later and then come back in and go through it to bed. So, yeah, I think that buffer has been really critical for me. But anyway, we don't need to talk about our anxiety all episode. I mean, I'm sure it'll emerge itself because music is such a powerful healing tool, but we need to talk about music, aren't we?
Yeah, we've just had a nice little catch-up. I'm going to leave all that in. Who cares?
Absolutely.
You have brought three songs in, and they're exactly the kinds of songs I expected you to choose, so I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I've also chosen three. Let's get started. Which one would you like to kick us off with?
I think I might kick off with the one I put at the top of the list, which is Aishwarya and Psycho Hole.
Excellent. What was it about this song that made you excited to listen to it?
I got excited to listen to it in the first place because I saw people banging on about how damn good it was. My friend Grace Medford over in the UK, which is weird because Aishwarya is from Melbourne and Triple J is getting all around her, rightfully so. Hayden Davies from Pile Rats wrote about her and was just obsessing over it. Grace Medford, my friend from the UK, at one of those faces on Twitter, you won't regret following her. She found it and was like, right, this is the song of the year. This is the oh fuck moment of the. Can I swear on this podcast? Is it a swear podcast?
Yes.
This is the oh shit. This is incredible moment of the year. It starts off this slow kind of hip hoppy sort of Billie Eilish esque kind of intricate minimalist production and a sort of whispery voice. And normally I don't like whispery voices. Normally that just annoys me. I remember having a conversation once with Asta about like. There's so many damn whispery voices in this country and not enough divas at the moment. But the way that Aishwarya sings on this song is like it's kind of whispered and really delicate, but at the same time, it's got lots of power and attitude and personality in it. And so for the first minute of this song, it's very like creepy and weird. I mean, Psycho Hole kind of brings that in straight away. And then all of a sudden it warps into this sort of much faster piano-led kind of R&B pop production. And the hook she sings will be in your head all week. There's something so perfect about it. The video she shot, she had to learn the song in reverse and walk backwards into a swimming pool and to give the effect so that when they reversed it again that she'd become emerging out of the swimming pool and following the phone. Everything she has done, and this is based on my love of one song. I think there's only two songs by her out there at the moment. She has blown me the hell away. She's so charismatic. I'm just completely obsessed with this new artist. And this song is, probably top three of the year for me so far.
It's a big call. It's funny you mention other people talking about it online because I actually came across it when I think Tommy Faith shared it on his Twitter account and I went and listened to it. I was like, yeah, this is sick. And the thing that I love the most about it, I love the intro. I think the beat in the intro is fucking cool.
Yeah.
But I love how it kind of moves between these two feels for the whole song. So you can't feel like you know what's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's insane about that? I have listened to this song hundreds of times now, yet you know how you get a sense of how a song goes and you kind of know where the verses are, where the choruses are. That's a really good point. Even after hundreds of listens to this song on repeat, I still can't remember when it's going to warp into the faster bit, when it's going to warp back to the slow part. You're so right. It's so interestingly made and yet so familiar and enjoyable to listen to at the same time. It's not too experimental, but it doesn't sound like anything else at the same time. Do you get the Billie Eilish comparison that I've heard of from a few people?
Yeah, I think if you listen to International Marmalade, the monthly bonus episode of Australian Jams, where we talk about international music, I'm a big fan of Billie Eilish, not just because she makes really fucking great music, but she's showing you that pop music can be done differently. And I think that's the comparison I make here. Like, this is pop music, but it's like a completely different take on pop music, which I think is the most interesting thing, is that pop music doesn't have to be traditional song structure and all that sort of stuff. But this can have really big production and still fit those categories and appeal to those same people.
It's almost an anti-pop sound, isn't it? They're almost doing the things you're not meant to do with pop music. You're not meant to, yes, you can change the key of the way you sing, but you're generally not meant to change the tempo in a pop song. Yeah. You're meant to keep it driving forward the whole time. And songs like that, and breaking the mold, that's what they're doing. They're breaking the mold, and that's the way to cut through these days, especially as a new artist. People aren't out to hear the same thing over and over again. People want to hear something they've never heard before, but still with a little bit of a kind of comfort and familiarity to it. And that comes with, interesting melodies and, good singing, I suppose. Yeah, good singing. Completely. It is, generally, although Fontaine's DC are showing us at the moment that good singing is not a prerequisite to making one of the best albums of the year. So there you go.
And you chose not to cover that one.
Look, generally, here's the thing with Fontaine's DC. I won't spend too long on this, but generally, music with guitars in is not my thing. But there's something about the energy of Fontaine's DC. I think it's the just straight down the line, Dublin, no bullshit energy about them. I kind of like it. There's something really cool. And I don't know. Maybe this is growing up, Jem. Maybe this is growing up.
Maybe it's growing up. I'm glad I only chose one guitar song to talk about.
Worry. When we get to that guitar song, I am fully obsessed with it as well.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Let's hear a little bit of Aishwarya and we'll be back in a moment. You just heard a bit of Psycho Hole by Aishwarya. That was Nick's first song who's here with me today. My first song to talk about, I'm going to go with York's Gravity. How am I going to phrase this? Last year on Australian Jams, I spoke a lot about Eilish Gilligan, and that seems like a really weird person to bring up right now. But I spoke about how Eilish was part of this big group of female pop artists in Australia, electronic pop artists in Australia that were kind of growing together, and this really big movement of that genre locally that I thought was really impressive, and the reasons why Eilish was setting herself apart. York is part of that group as well. And I think as an artist, she's definitely one to be watching for the next few months. This is just a really, really cleverly put together song. And it makes sure that it hits on all the things that York is really, really good at and makes sure they're showcased. And it's just also, you know, really fucking catchy.
Exactly. I think this levels York up as well. This is a liberosis. I always have to remind myself it's not Liberiosis because I see the name of the EP she put out earlier this year and I go, oh yeah, Liberiosis. It's about the great country of Liberia. No, Liberosis, which is, what does it mean again? The desire to, don't worry.
Is it something about singing?
Hang on, I need to Google it now. Liberosis definition, because it's going to do my head in for the rest of the podcast. It is the desire to care less about something. So not wanting to give as much of a shit, which ties back nicely to our anxiety conversation. When she put that EP out, it was everything that I like in pop music. It was really exceptionally written, really nice production, interesting. She's got a really unique voice as well. But this is just the kind of like, unabashed, unashamed pop music that I am obsessed with. And I think for it to come from, there's this surge at the moment of artists that live in bloody Byron Bay putting out some of the best pop music of the year. Yves Karidis, Keita Alexander, and now York putting out three of the best pop songs of the year. This feels like a level up, and I had the privilege of having a chat to her last week about this song and about where she's going with it. And for her, this song is everything she's been working towards for the last 3 years. This is the moment. The last stuff she loves, and it's still very her, but this is stuff she wrote in 2018, whereas Gravity is what she feels like right now. And I love that Japanese Wallpaper on the production got to work with his idol, Chris Waller from Death Cab for Cutie on this. Like, that's just such an ideal combo.
That's massive. Like, Australian artists are being able to tap into some of the like most respected, I guess, resources around the world because they're showing how quality they are. Like, how quality they are. What am I, a lad? But like, you know what I mean? That there's so much more opportunity for artists locally here now because they've actually almost proven themselves, like as a group. Yep. It's like as Australian electronic pop artists or as Australian artists, we are actually really fucking good. We've got a really good community here. So definitely work with us. And we're seeing that more and more. Like even what Alice Ivy's been doing with her work. I know there's a few others around that are yet to release stuff that like, I know someone that worked with Banks's producer. Like there's so much awesome stuff being able to happen. And it feels much more connected with the world now too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I've found even in the work that I do the last 6 months and being in quote unquote lockdown, every time I do a podcast and I say the word lockdown, I have a bit of a crisis because I'm really big on semantics of words and lots of like what I'm going through right now is not lockdown. This is just general physical distancing that we're going through at the moment. You're in lockdown. That's a completely yeah. different situation. You can't leave the house. Anyway, I won't get into that conversation again. But in the last, since the pandemic started, I have felt, and I don't know about you, but I have felt this real sense of being one with the music community and one with the world a little bit more. We're all in the same boat for the first time ever. This pandemic and what it brings economically, but also from a health perspective, does not discriminate. The health side probably does discriminate more towards older people, but the economic side discriminates towards younger people. And from that, and you know, doing Zoom calls all day, every day with people from their lounge rooms, and you see photos of their family behind them, and they're wearing a, you know, snuggly jumper instead of sitting in a corporate office. It's felt like we're more connected, and it seems to be the case for the artists that make the music as well, which is a nice thing to say.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it feels kind of nice, like weird that it, weird, nice, interesting maybe is the better word.
Nice and usual, nice.
The song's called Gravity and everyone's just like coming back down to earth at the moment as well. So. Let's listen to a bit of Gravity by York and we'll come back. Both losing our minds. That was a bit of Gravity by York. Nick, Kelly, what is your next song choice?
I'm going to bring you one of the most glistening, glittery pop bops of the year. Full disclosure, I am the manager of this artist, but it's not like I would manage an artist that I'm not a super fan of. In fact, I am probably one of her biggest fans, and that's why I chose to work with her. This is Jeans. She's from Melbourne, now living in Townsville. Songwriter extraordinaire. She's had cuts with folks like Young Franco, Kilter, Will Sparks even, flexing her EDM muscle a little bit. but the stuff that ends up on the Jeans project is just this beautiful, glistening, 80s, fun, you know, just soaked in gorgeous sunlight kind of pop bops. And this one is called Better. It's about, you know, coming out the other side of a breakup after a couple of songs that kind of were about a breakup. I've found such a love for Jeans and the way she writes music and the way she writes about herself and expresses herself through music. And I think she's, you know, Australia's Carly Rae Jepsen.
Australia's Kylie Rae Jepsen. I hope you're planning on using that as a tagline on everything you send out from now on.
May have sent a couple of emails with that in the subject line.
Yes. Please tell me you send it to Aiden.
No, I haven't. Why didn't I do that? I should have done that. Hello to Aiden.
Hey, Aiden.
How are you?
Ex guest on the pod.
There you go.
Most people we talk about have been a guest on the pod, so that's fun too. Well, while we're talking about it, can you tell me a little bit about how you got to know Jeans and how you came to work with her?
Yeah, so when I was about 19, a major record label called EMI Music Australia stupidly offered me my own record label with them as a completely clueless 19-year-old that was obsessed with pop music and trying to break artists. And I had such a ball making music with that label and you know, brought a couple of really exciting projects through that, brought Youngblood from the UK and signed him through that imprint before he kind of exploded, which was a real exciting run on the board. And one of the artists that we signed, which was my one of my most proud moments, was signing a Melbourne singer-songwriter called Sam Bluer, who I had gotten to know just because he wrote bops, and he was kind of one of the first artists I was talking to when I decided I wanted to do this side of stuff, and about an 18-month process of working with him on music before we signed him. Anyway, long story short, Sam's best song, in my opinion, which we put out through the label, was a co-write between him and Maddie, who is the person with the Jeans Project. And then I kind of was talking to her. We met a couple of times like 5 years ago when I was down in Melbourne, and she wanted to do an artist thing under a different name, but she wasn't quite there with it. She didn't really know. And then we just kind of kept in touch over the years, and she put music out as Jeans, and I was obsessed with it. And we kind of just had a bit of a kinship, and we decided to start, you know, I decided to give her a hand, and then we decided to sort of pat each other's backs, and now we've got this beautiful working relationship together, and she's a joy to work with. She's an extremely creative person, a gun songwriter, and just a bop maker extraordinaire.
Bop maker going along with Australia's own Carly Rae Jepsen.
Exactly.
Excellent. That's so great, because I, as a former artist manager myself, I'm always curious about how these relationships evolve, because I think everyone kind of has a different story about how they came to work with their artist or came to work with their manager. And I've been going through this with a good friend of mine who's been contemplating taking on a new artist recently and going through the pros and cons and all those sorts of things. So it's always a fascinating story.
It is.
This song is a big old jam. That's what I wrote down. I just think it's so fun to listen to. And again, like, we're doing a lot of pop music stuff today because you're here and because it's great. But yeah, this definitely is a standout at the moment among a lot of stuff, because it's the kind of thing that you put on and then it finishes and you're like, oh, maybe I'll just like put that back to the top.
And I got to shout out the team that wrote it with started the bare bones of it with James Hamley, an amazing producer from Melbourne who just got a cut with Stan Walker, which was like at the top of New Music Friday. So he's a really cool guy. And then we just needed like a little bit more glitter on it. We needed someone to get one of those glitter shakers and shake it all over. And we couldn't think of anyone better than Nina Geraci. And so we got Nina Geraci to co-produce, and Zoe Adore, who's another awesome artist from WA, is now living in Melbourne.
Zoe Adore
co-wrote it.
Flipping love Zoe so much.
She is going to be a star, that woman. She's going to be a star.
She's an incredible songwriter, but also makes her own really good music. Like I, from what I understand of conversations with her, she really wants to be a writer for others.
Yeah.
But she released a song called Innocent.
Yes.
Earlier this year.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I've listened to that song 6,000 times. It's unbelievable. She's so good, but so underrated as well. Like, I feel like, she gets a lot of streams. People find her online, but not many people are talking about her when they really should.
Well, let's start talking about her. It needs to happen, because she's too damn talented as a songwriter, as an artist. And that's been a really fulfilling thing about moving into this artist management stuff the last 18 months, the connecting of good people with one another. I had nothing to do with Maddie and Zoe meeting. They met on their own terms, but you know, getting to work with both of them, and then, you know, hooking Maddie up with Nina, and now they're, you know, talking about doing some more stuff in the future. And Nina went to my high school. I went to an academically selective high school where no one made music or made anything creative. And the fact that, it's just this kind of, everything seems very full circle at the moment. And like, I'm connecting good energies with one another. And that's a really fulfilling thing. And Zoe Adore is a star. Jeans is a star. Nina Geraci is a star. Hamley is a star. Well done to everyone who's ever made music.
Funny we mentioned Zoe Adore again, because another ex-guest of the podcast.
Was she?
So she, from what I understand, is managed by Mel Dine, who everyone
Great
in Melbourne.
Mel Dine.
Mel Dine is a literal angel. Another ex-guest of the podcast. Mel knows everyone in Melbourne music in particular. Mel has had a hand in a lot of music careers in Melbourne in particular. So shout out to Mel. I love to shout out to Mel. Anyway, let's listen to a little bit of Better by Jeans, and we'll come back for one of my songs. But I'm better.
so much better when you're never on my mind. I'm so much better. I'm so much better. I'm better. So much better. You won't ever see me cry. I'm so much better. I'm so much better. I was a fool for you. I get it. I get it. I was too good to you.
That was a little bit of Better by Jeans, managed by none other than my guest today, Nick Kelly. My next song, I'm trying to decide which one I want to talk about.
Okay.
Let's talk about East.
Happily.
So East is amazing. She's just released her debut album called I'm Doing It. And I've chosen the song Walking Home in the Rain, but I think a lot of what we're going to talk about for this song kind of goes for the whole album.
Yeah.
Her songwriting, we've just talked a lot about songwriting and Zoe Adore and Jeans and people like that, but I think East's songwriting is a really underrated aspect of her music. She's an incredible songwriter. She somehow is able to make all of her songs feel so big and like anthemic almost.
Yeah.
And I love the way in this song she uses a lot of backing vocals, and this is something we've seen throughout her music. Backing vocals and things to make it feel really full without it just being a whole lot of production all the time.
Mm.
And she's definitely got such a unique sound, not just because of her voice, but because of the way she structures her songs, I think makes East very, it's kind of standalone in a lot of stuff happening right now. And she's just amazing. I couldn't say enough nice, good, excellent words about East.
I listened to this album for the first time in full on Sunday. I went for I'm going to say run, but it was more of a fast walk.
Better than
and
nothing?
Absolutely. And it honestly, it was great running music. I'm Doing It. The last song, which is obviously the title track, was a huge, confidence booster for my running ability. So it was get through on this album. But you're right. Walking Home in the Rain really kind of does sum up the whole record, I think. This is one of the best break up, but find your friends that will get you through it and then make you a better person on the other side kind of albums I've heard in a very long time. And you're right about the songwriting. I hadn't spent enough time with East's because there hasn't been a full body of work like this before. I've been a fan of East for a long time. She's from my area, from the Central Coast initially. So I've been across her for a long time. And Life Goes On, probably one of my top 10 songs of the year it came out, and that's when she kind of found Jim Elliot, this amazing producer who's worked with Ellie Goulding and a whole bunch of other, you know, incredible pop types. And she has found her thing working with him.
Yep.
And you're right. There's also a song, Found Somebody, on this that just ripped me to absolute shreds. That feeling of knowing that your partner has moved on and met somebody new and they're dancing together and you're dancing alone. I kind of consider it to be the Dancing on My Own Robin of 2020, this song. It's absolutely mind-blowingly heartbreaking if you've ever been through that experience.
That's a big call as well.
Maybe it's the Australian 2020 Robin Dancing on My Own, but I haven't heard a song that gives me the same emotion like that this year that Dancing on My Own did. But yeah, back to the song you actually brought to the table instead of just getting away from
I'm always happy to talk about a full album.
You're so right. Like Walking Home in the Rain really kind of does bring the album together. It kind of feels like the centerpiece and the one that sums up all the emotions that the other songs go through, whether they be, you know, a little bit of hope, a little bit of sadness, a little bit of, you know, that heartbreak. It really does kind of bring it all together.
I think the really comforting part, and again, this is a theme through a lot of East's songwriting, but there's a section of the song where she just talks about she's missed a bus or train, it's raining, so she has to walk home in the rain, so she puts her headphones on and automatically feels better. And it's like, that is something that I think everyone can relate to. Like, something shit happens, but as long as you've got your headphones and you can listen to something that makes you feel better, it's much easier to do that walk, or it's much easier to do that drive on your own, or something like that. And I think there's so many threads in East music, this album in particular, where it's just like the way she writes, it's relatable everyone can find something from themselves in it, and they feel like they're not alone in the situation. Like, you're not the only one that's gone through that. It's okay. It'll kind of move on for you.
That's such a good point. That is exactly how I felt listening to this entire album, but particularly that song. You felt not alone anymore. And I hope that East felt through writing this project less alone in those feelings as well. And I hope that she's realizing how much this record is connecting with people. Because she's just summed it up so beautifully. You're making me, I'm going to go for a run after we do this. And again, it will not be a run. It will be a mild walk. But I'm going to put this album on from top to bottom again, because I want those feelings again. I need to feel something.
Excellent. I'm so glad to do that for you. Let's listen to a bit of Walking Home in the Rain and we'll be back. That was a bit of Walking Home in the Rain by East from the incredible debut album, I'm Doing It. I highly recommend going and listening to the whole thing, just like Nick is about to do after we get off this.
Also, just quickly, Jem, how the hell is it East's debut album? I feel like she's been in my life the entire time I've been an adult, which is 8 years this year. Like,
What is adult? 18 years old?
Roughly. Yeah.
You're 26?
25.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I remember as well. 40 kilos ago as well.
I always felt like I was just like really old in the music group of people, which is true given how old everyone else was. But knowing that you're 25 makes me feel old. It's all about me, Nick.
I feel so, it's so weird, you know. I turned 25 only a month ago, but thank you very much. Where was your present? I was saying this to my mum. Yeah, this is a great gift. I was saying to my mum, I feel the most my age that I've ever felt. I don't feel old. I don't feel young, but I also don't feel old. I know I'm more cognizant than ever of how young I am and how much time I have to get things wrong and fuck it up and learn at this age than I ever have. When I was 21, I was like, I've screwed it. Career's done. I've done everything I wanted to do. I've quit radio. I've quit radio another 3 times since I turned 21 now. So there's plenty of times to get it wrong, plenty of opportunity to get it wrong. And yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's also a good one to bring up, because I literally quit my job in August last year to like have a go at a career that I wanted, and then a pandemic happened. So let's not talk about that. But like, I was 28 when I quit my job. So 28? Yeah, I was about to turn 29. So now I'm staring down the barrel of living alone and potentially turning 30 in isolation. So that's not great.
30 is still so young though as well. And that's the thing. I used to look at people a few years older than me and think that's so old. But now I look at 30-year-olds and I'm like, holy shit, like 30's so damn young. You've got so much life left, hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully. Again, pandemic for whatever. Let's stop talking about the pandemic. You have a final song for us to speak about.
Yes, I'm so excited. The most unexpected, I suppose, song that I've heard from this artist so far, and the most wonderfully warm song from this artist. I'm talking about Coda Banks. For those who don't know Coda Banks, Sydney-based artist, has written and released really sort of fast-paced, fun, sharp, interesting pop with a bit of a dance twist to it. A lot of the work produced by Swick over the journey, who's part of the Nina Las Vegas Records stable, which Coda is also associated with. She's sassy. I hate using the word sassy to describe women first up, but I think it probably does talk about her. She's acid-tongued at times. She's so sharp and fun with the way she talks about fuckboys and the patriarchy and everything shit in the world. And then we get to the end of this EP she's put out, four tracks, nice and tight, called Sugar and the Spice. And the spice is definitely there. There's a song called Snip Snip, which is just a savagery for 3.5 minutes. And then there's this song called Yes at the very end of it, which I wanted to bring, which is made with Xavier Dunn, who has been responsible for some incredible pop music out of this country, including his very own work over the last little while.
I love Xavier Dunn so much.
Yeah, gorgeous man.
What are they called? Fuck, OK Moon.
OK Moon, yes, with Lanx and Hayden Cownan and the other one.
And the other one, Dustin Tebbit.
Dustin Tebbit, that's the man. That's him.
And the other one.
The other one.
That album is amazing as well. Sorry to distract from what you're talking about. But
I must dive into it. The thing with Zave is he can really, like, he can go from that kind of more folksy OK Moon stuff. His own stuff was quite intricate and light. And then he goes into this luscious pop, electronic pop sound with Coda. And we were talking, we were talking about how the East album kind of evokes feelings of breakups that we've been through in the past. This song, I heard it on Friday, and it is the first time I'm 20 months post-breakup now, roughly. I don't keep count anymore, thank God. But about a year and a half ago, I went through a pretty tumultuous breakup. And this is the first time since that breakup that I've felt, when I was listening to this song, got to the first chorus, and I felt, you know what? I'm ready to open my heart again. And I know that sounds lame, and I know that sounds basic, but I just went, you know what? I'm ready to, like, go on a date and it not go well. I'm ready to, like, have a casual hookup again, which is not something I've been doing recently. I am ready to just be, you know, romantic again. And that's not something I've been doing. I've been shying away from it actively so as not to hurt myself the last little while. But this song reminded me that, you know, being obsessed with someone and being in love with someone is a really powerful thing and a really beautiful thing. And it's, I suppose, a very human, you know, emotion to have. So I thank Coda Banks for that. And I thank Coda Banks for this beautiful, luscious pop moment.
I'm glad you brought up how it's different from a lot of Coda Banks stuff, because I did make a note of that. It's quite different to other releases. It's got this kind of soaring quality to it, which is like the absolute opposite of everything we know Coda Banks to be. It's always, as you said, very sharp. It's like stunted and really like harsh beats, but in a really great way. And you mentioned Snip Snip, which we featured a few episodes ago with Nussi as a guest, Danielle Smorelli. And we talked about how she just goes for it. She's not afraid and it's great. But I love that this song shows so much flexibility, versatility in what Coda Banks can do. And she's not just that harsh sound all the time. She can do lots of different things and have it still fit with her brand as well, which I think is even more important.
Yep, absolutely. And that's it. I think she's opened up the opportunity to be a more holistic artist that can touch on different kinds of, you know, bits about love. You know, it's not all about the folks that have been shit to her. You know, she is capable of love, and we are all capable of love over the journey. And I think it's exciting. It's broadened the audience she's going to be able to bring in. And I think it's going to broaden the fan base and those folks that, you know, will feel a little bit more connected to her now through her opening up this side of her. So I'm really elated for her that she's pulled this together. She pulled the whole thing together in isolation, which is pretty damn impressive. And I think this song in particular just wowed me. It knocked me to my knees, Gemma.
I'm glad as well that because she's released albums in the past, I'm glad we're seeing musicians willing or artists willing to go back to an EP as something to experiment with, because you can on an EP throw something like this in at the end, trying different things before you take the next step. So it's almost like preparing your audience for what might be coming on the next album. And I really like her willingness to take that step back to an EP, do it, and then launch into whatever is coming next as well.
Yeah, I'm absolutely elated for her. And, you know, I feel like I know a lot about the person that Coda Banks is now. You know, she's had songs about her Italian heritage, and she's talked about, you know, all the shitty men in the world. Are you Italian heritage as well?
I'm very, very Italian.
Oh, the Italian people.
My last name is Bastiani, so yeah.
Okay, that's a very good point. I didn't really compute that, did I? I am just like, I feel like I know her. I feel like I know her family. I feel like I know what her childhood was like, and I feel like I know what her heartbreak's been like. And I think for a relatively new artist, you know, she's definitely been doing it for a few years now and wowing people for a while, but I feel like she's one of the newer artists that I feel like I know the most, the most personally as a fan. And I know a lot of fans feel that way as well. So big ups to her.
Yeah, and it's got a lot to do with her willingness to put it out there. So let's hear a bit of Yes by Coda Banks, and we will come back to talk about my last song. Sad that you got me this mesmerized. I'm bluer than the clearest southern sky. And the hours turn to weeks, or look at it fly. That was a bit of Yes by Coda Banks. My last song for today is completely different to the rest of today's songs. This is another song that I've chosen not just for this song, but to speak about a full album, because the album is amazing as well. I've chosen Learning Alive by DMAs. DMAs have absolutely pulled me in with this album. I was never... I can't remember who I had as a guest, but when I featured Silver, it may have been with Lloyd Paris. I can't remember. When I featured Silver, I was like, this all of a sudden, I like DMAs. And this is whereas previous to that, it wasn't that I didn't like them. I just didn't actively look to listen to them. Whereas now, every time they release something, I'm like, okay, I need to listen to that immediately. I have no choice but to listen to this immediately. And this album, I'll say it again, is just beyond amazing. I said anthemic for East. This is anthemic. This is what you want to sit on the hill at Falls as sun's going down watching them play. Like, it's a moment, it's an experience. And again, I sound like a giant wanker, but you get what I mean. Like, it's not just music anymore. This is a big experience in the way these songs are written.
I am. No, I was out of breath when I heard Life is a Game of Changing for the first time. Criminals has knocked me off my fucking feet. That album is without a doubt the best pop album of the year from anyone. It is mind-blowingly good. Every song is brilliant. I, like you, didn't give two shits about DMAs before it. Love Delete. I thought Delete was a great feat of songwriting, and I've always been open to the idea of liking DMAs, but I'm generally don't find myself, as we were talking about earlier about Fontaine's DC, I don't find myself gravitating towards artists with a lot of guitars. I find it quite inaccessible. As a pop music fan, I find it hard to hear, the stories and the melodies. And that's just, you know, that's about growing up as well. I think I've learned to love that stuff. And I've gone back on a bit of the old DMA stuff after hearing The Glow. But my God, Jem, they have just knocked it out of the park on this entire album. And I think them working with Stuart Price. Stuart Price that did this album, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so them working with Stuart Price, who has is pretty much the producer of their dreams, because he did like Kylie Minogue's like All the Lovers, but also like New Order and the Pet Shop Boys, and but also the Killers. And he's kind of sat in that anthemic space, regardless of what instruments create it, for a long time. This album was their first venture into the pop music they've always wanted to make, and they have knocked it out of the park. But I think with this song feels like a nice middle ground for the record as well. You've got Criminals, that's quite, you know, the big pop moment of the album, and my favorite, just naturally, because that's what I gravitate towards. And then you've got, you know, something like Silver, which is probably on the more rocky side. But Learning Alive definitely sits in the very middle ground and really sums up this album for me.
Yeah, and when Isolation started way back in March, wow. It's August, folks.
I don't even call this a year anymore. I call it just a pandemic. Like, this is just the pandemic. The Gregorian calendar is dead. It's just the pandemic now.
Pandemic times. Right back at the start, I remember one of them. I don't even know their name. Normally, I'd know who the members of the band are. I don't even know that. How bad's that?
I know them.
Well, one of them did just an acoustic solo rendition of The Glow, I think, or Silver, on their Facebook page. Mm. And I normally don't stop and watch that stuff. I normally am just like, oh, yeah, that's a thing. I stopped and watched that, and then I watched it twice more, and then I shared it. So, like, it was really, really good. And the vocals absolutely stand up as well, which was not something I expected, which sounds really awful, but they're not, like, just looking at them as well, like the branding of them and everything, you don't expect that to be as raw as it is in the end product.
100%. The vocal and the beautiful melodies, and going back to Criminals, this is a song that really drives that point home, because, again, I'm not talking about a song you want to talk about. I'm going to talk about a completely different one. But there's a couple of songs, and Learning a Life could probably be included in this, but, you know, Criminals starts out with this, like, it's just a little acoustic kind of, on it's just like a light electric guitar and Tommy's voice. He did the whole, remember when they did Like a Version, they did Shares Believe? He did that whole thing with a piece of gum in his mouth. And
that's nuts.
Like, sang the most beautiful melodies, and just his tone is just, it makes me want to cry. It's like, it's beautiful, beautiful pop music. He is made to make this kind of music. And you're exactly right. You look at them and you go, you guys are just going to make like, you know, I think there's a band called Spike Fuck somewhere. And I'm like, if you told me there was a band called Spike Fuck, and I imagine the three members of Spike Fuck, it would be the members of DMAs, if I was to visualize. You know what I mean? Like they have this like aesthetic of, you know, this, it's a bit of a Britpop aesthetic, you know, with the big kind of, you know, jackets and caps, they're and lad stuff. They've got the lad look going on, but they make this beautiful, you know, gorgeous pop sounds. All three of them are just incredible creators. And I am a DMA stan for life now.
So am I, actually. I am fully on board the train now. 100%. And this song is called Learning Alive. Here's a little bit of it, but again, go and listen to the whole album, because it's beautiful. By DMAs. That was a little bit of Learning Alive by DMAs. That means we've already covered six songs. This has been so much fun. Nick, do you have anything you want to shout out, plug, let our listeners know that you do?
Well, you, first of all, thanks for having me on, because that was a really beautiful way to dive a bit deeper on some of these records that I've been loving, because, you know, I'll talk about them to friends or I'll tweet about it, but it's great to just sit here and, you know, spend a few minutes really diving in on why songs connect to us. And you brought three brilliant tracks to the table, and tracks that, you know, were probably just a little bit further down my list anyway. I suppose I should talk about things I do. I do two podcasts because everyone needs more cis white men doing podcasts. We do Project U, which is my music blog's Pop Corner. So if you search for Pop Corner on all your podcasting apps, we run through brand new releases every week. It's myself, my friend Grace Gard, and our other friend Nathan. We're just pop music fans. We're not journalists. We're just having a chat about the music we love, what's going on in the charts, and what's going on with the big pop stars as well. And then I do one called Flop Stars with Sam Murphy from The Interns, and we talk about the records and the albums and the artists that couldn't quite compete on the charts but found a huge place in our hearts. Ding. So that we just covered Taylor Swift's reputation and did a deep dive on that if you want to check out Flop Stars. Music blogs there. I'm nickkelly.mp3 on Instagram, but just search Nick Kelly, you'll find me. If you really want to follow me, you probably don't, but
It's Nick just with a C, okay.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's my plugging done. I'm not very good at talking about myself.
I will link all of that in the show notes below as well in case you just want a direct link. And also on Twitter, you're Nick W. Kelly, aren't you?
Bingo.
What about me? What am I plugging?
What are you plugging? What's going on for you?
We're in the midst of 20 days straight of men's footy, so I might die. Also,
what do they call this period? It's footy mania, is it? Or footy palooza?
Footy frenzy.
Footy frenzy.
So lame. anyway. Every Tuesday, I'm just going to talk about sport now. Sorry, everyone. That's all I do. Every Tuesday, made the same mistake twice. Every Tuesday, my Women in Sport platform called Siren releases a newsletter with a bunch of content about women's sport. Surprise. Yesterday, as part of our newsletter, myself and co-founder Kirby Fenwick, we wrote about the $40 million now given from the federal government to Foxtel to cover women's and niche sports, and just looking at where that money's gone and whether Foxtel is the right recipient of that. So if you're interested in women's sports or interested just in things like that, I would highly recommend checking that out. Kirby's done an incredible job. I am the stats person, so I just put all the stats in there and made the graphics, but Kirby wrote the bulk of it and she's amazing. And also I interviewed cricketer Molly Strano ahead of the WBBL series coming back, hopefully in October. There's every chance it won't happen now. But it's mostly scheduled in New South Wales and Queensland, so we should be okay.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. You're into football, as in soccer football, aren't you?
Into is a stretch, but yes. Yes. No, look, I've been toying with this conversation a lot recently because it's one of the stereotypes of queer men that we're not into sport. But one of my literal favorite things to do is go to a live football game. Like, I love watching the soccer. Unfortunately, I live on the Central Coast, the home of the Central Coast Mariners, the recipients of the Wooden Spoon 4 of the last 5 years, including this year. The club is now up for sale after they got their Wooden Spoon the other day. We don't know if the Mariners will exist next year, but I love it anyway. Great fun.
Maybe, got to get into the Big Bash now.
Absolutely. I've been to a couple of the men's Big Bash games, and I really enjoyed that. I like the format a lot. So I definitely want to get more into women's sport. I said to myself this year that I was going to get into the AFL as well, but I think just the chaos of the way it started, and it just felt a bit like a messy year to get myself into a new sport because it probably wasn't going to be quite the same. And I know they changed like the lengths of the quarters and stuff. So maybe next year I'll become an AFL fan and definitely want to make sure I'm watching the women's game just as much, if not more, than the men's as well.
Well, I am absolutely here for any tips or news or information you need about footy because that's literally my job now.
Okay, close.
We're also in the throes of the AFLW trade and sign period where my club seems to be getting rid of absolutely every player I love. So that's going well for me. So we'll see how it develops. You may see me die on Twitter. So speaking of, my Twitter is GL Bastiani if you want to find me. Otherwise, we're at Australian Jams. If you just want to see stuff about music, that's the better place to follow. Otherwise, I just want to thank Nick for coming on and, we organized this yesterday, so happy to do a quick turnaround too, which is great for me.
My bad, because you did ask me when I could do it about a week and a half ago, and I looked at the message and then never got back because I'm really bad at Twitter DMs. But I luckily remembered. I had a little brain explosion because I saw you tweet something that triggered me to go, I should check in on this. And then I realized I had never replied. Anyway, yes. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Don't worry. I think I do that. It's pandemic times. No one is beholden to anything right now.
Exactly.
So there's no shame. Make sure you head to the show notes and check out Nick's podcasts and also the artists that we've featured. Please go and support them because, you know, it's tough to be an artist. It's tough to be anyone right now, but it's particularly tough to be an artist because it's really hard to make money when you're not touring. So please go and support them. Otherwise, this has been another episode of Australian Jams. Please note that our intro and outro music is from Ataline. So make sure you go and check out Ataline. She's got some incredible music out at the moment. I'll be back in another fortnight with another episode and also some more international marmalade. Otherwise, stay home, wash your hands.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.